Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
So I'm going to be reading a scripture from Luke 2. So in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first decree when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went down to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which was called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all of the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and a baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known to them, saying that they had been told concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured up all these things in her heart and pondered them. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them.
Merry Christmas! How are we all doing? It is good seeing you today. I don't know about you, but with my family, we have a tradition, Christmas time growing up. We'd always spend Christmas morning at home and opening all our gifts. We have six kids, so there's always a lot of gifts. But before we could open the gifts, My dad would always read the Christmas story, the one that Michaela just read from Luke chapter 2. And so that verse, I love that story of Jesus being born, but also I'm a little conflicted because I always remember sitting there wishing, I wish it could go faster. I just want to open, we could see the gifts around the tree and we're just waiting for the story to end. So I have kind of a bittersweet memory of that story. But today, it's all sweetness because we're going to talk about Jesus and his birth. And I can remember every Christmas morning just seeing all the different gifts and presents. We go out early and look and find and separate all our gifts out. And you're just dreaming and trying to figure out what's in each gift. And rarely did we get them all right, but we always got some right. You always kind of knew a few things that were going. We've been in a series here at Every Nation Taipei talking about how people hundreds of years before Jesus was born, they predicted this great gift, the gift of Jesus coming to earth. They predicted exactly who he would be, how he would be born, things about his life, where he would live, where he would be born, where he would die. Over 300 prophecies predicting Jesus, and every single one of them came true. Hundreds of years. I couldn't even predict, you know, what Christmas gifts I'd have under the tree. But these prophets foretold. And that's the wonder of Christmas. And today we've gone through and talked about how the prophets foretold that Jesus would be Savior of the world. And the prophets foretold how Jesus would be servant. And today we're going to talk about how the prophets foretold that Jesus would come as a son. Messiah, the Savior of the world, would come as a son. And so God sent his son. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And so this prophet Isaiah, we have a picture of Isaiah. I'm not sure if it was taken with an iPhone or but there's the prophet Isaiah heard from God, and he's made these predictions over 700 years before Jesus was ever born. He began to tell details of his life. In fact, next verse, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. There was a moment in Israel's history where they were surrounded by enemies. Two nations came against one nation, two on one, and it looked like they were going to be wiped out. Because they had gone through a bunch of difficulties. Their army was depleted. And so they looked like, they said, we're going to get wiped out. And Isaiah said, no, God says you're going to survive. And they said, we don't believe it. Look at our army. Look at these armies coming against us. There's no way we can survive. We're going to get wiped out. And so Isaiah starts getting fed up. He says, all right, then, let me tell you something. The Lord himself will give you the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. So he's talking to Israel, these kings, but he's actually prophesying about the king to come, about Jesus who would come, and how Jesus would be the Son of God, come to live with us, to overcome every enemy that we face. So not only did Israel survive, not only did Israel defeat those two armies, but Jesus came, Emmanuel, God with us, born of a virgin, and he delivered us. So here's today's message, kind of quick overview. We're going to look how Jesus being born as the Son of God was unexpected, was inconvenient, and how he is irreplaceable. So first of all, Jesus being unexpected. Now, the first prophecy about Jesus actually came in the very first book of the Bible, literally thousands of years before Jesus was born. And in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, the Bible says this, I will cause hostility. He's talking to the serpent, Satan, and Eve, and he's saying, I'll cause hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring, and he will strike your head, and you will strike his heel. So he talks about this son to come, who's going to defeat Satan. And so Adam and Eve are expecting, one of my sons, one of my offspring, is going to defeat Satan after he got us kicked out of the garden, got us into sin. One of my sons. And so and then they had two sons. Remember the names of the two sons? Cain and Abel. So Cain and Abel came. I'm not, that must be an iPhone. But there's Cain and Abel. Didn't have any phones there, so that's an artist depiction. And Eve is thinking, maybe one of these sons will be the one who will defeat Satan, the enemy of mankind. And instead, what happened? Cain killed his own brother. Instead of killing the enemy, he killed his own brother. So they were definitely not the savior of the world, not the Messiah, not the promised king who would come. So I'm sure Adam and Eve were disappointed and saying, well, maybe it'll be another son. But it turns out it wasn't one of their sons. And when finally Jesus came on the scene, the Son of God, the one who was going to defeat Satan, he came at a time when people really, they didn't recognize him. He came in a totally unexpected way. In fact, there was another man when Jesus was born, who was alive when Jesus was born, that many thought was like the Messiah. Many thought he would be the one who would bring peace on earth. And he's actually mentioned in the Bible story about Jesus' birth. In Luke chapter 2, verse 1, the next verse, says, in those days, the days when Jesus was going to be born, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. Caesar Augustus, who was the emperor of Rome, which at that time was the largest, most powerful country on earth. And Caesar Augustus was the ruler of Rome. And people began to see him bringing in what they called the peace of Rome at that time, peace throughout the whole world. And people actually started to worship Caesar. And they actually began to build statues to him and build rituals to worship Caesar because they expected that he was the one who was going to bring peace to the whole earth. Little did they know, it wasn't going to be Caesar, the most powerful man on earth, who brought peace to earth. But it was a little baby born in a town called Bethlehem. Our next verse there, Micah chapter 5, verse 2. This is again hundreds of years before Jesus was born. A prophet said this, Micah said, but you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, are you only a small village among all the people of Judah? Yet a ruler of Israel whose origins are in the distant past will come from you on my behalf. And so hundreds of years before Jesus was born, the place of his birth was predicted, was prophesied. Bethlehem, a little nondescript town in a small little country. Not the great ruler of the Roman Empire, Caesar Augustus, who everyone thought at that time would bring peace to earth. But it was a little boy born in Bethlehem. And even his birth in Bethlehem was unexpected, because Jesus, his parents actually lived in another small town called Nazareth. And he would have been born there, except that Caesar said everybody has to go back to the place of their ancestors for him to gather tax from them. And so because of that, Joseph and Mary had to go back to the place of Joseph's ancestors, which was Bethlehem. And that's where he was born, in a little manger, not in a palace, not with any fanfare. The only people attending his birth were some shepherds who were notified by God on that night. So not only was Jesus' birth unexpected, but it's also inconvenient. And I was just talking to some people at a Christmas Eve party last night, and they're sharing how they came here to Taipei from Singapore in order to just to have birth, to give birth to a baby. And so she had just given birth a few weeks ago. She says, yeah, we actually just came here for a month to give birth, because giving birth in Taipei is so convenient. And it's such a great place to give birth. So they made a specific trip here just for giving birth. Well, Joseph and Mary also took a trip. And when you think the king of the universe, the prince of peace, is going to be born, how would royalty be born? And think of how royalties travel. Recently, Queen Elizabeth passed away, the queen of England. And here's how she used to travel: in her private jet, with all the military welcoming her. And I don't know about you, most of us here, it's almost like I'm an expat, so we do a lot of traveling. And I'm always, especially when I'm going home to visit family or when we moved here, you're always trying to stuff stuff into your suitcases, and you're always like overweight, trying to weigh, is that, you know, 23 kilos or 35 kilos? But Queen Elizabeth, when she travels with like 1 to 6 tons of luggage, which is a little more than our, you know, 50 kilograms. In fact, she travels with so much stuff, her suitcase is heavier than 2 large elephants. So we have pictures of 2 large elephants there. So her luggage, when she travels, can be way more than these 2 large elephants. We get 2 suitcases, she gets 2 elephants, you know? And when she travels, even if she doesn't travel by private plane, she goes in a car, and it's with fanfare and people greeting, and everybody loves to see royalty when they travel. But that's not how it was when Jesus was born. When Jesus was born, he went on a several-day journey. His mother went on a several-day journey while she was pregnant on a donkey, all by themselves, traveling through the countryside. And for those of you who've been pregnant, if you ever rode on a donkey, never been on a donkey, but been on a horse. And only, you know, after a few hours on a horse, it's painful. And here we are, days on a donkey, pregnant, getting ready to have birth. It was inconvenient. Jesus' birth, the way he was born, his travel, nothing like royalty. And following him, sometimes for you and I, if you've been a Christian for a very long time, you know, sometimes it is inconvenient, the places that Jesus asks us to go. So today on Christmas Day, as we talk about Jesus and what it means to follow him, I'd love to tell you that if you follow Jesus, everything's going to be great. God's going to give you a private jet. People will roll out the red carpet. You'll get extra luggage when you travel just for following Jesus. But that's not the way it is. It's often inconvenient. It's also often hard to be a follower of Jesus, but it's always worth it, because there's no one who can give us what Jesus brings into our lives. And that's why we say that Jesus is irreplaceable. There's no substitute for what Jesus has done in our lives, because what Jesus does is that he offers us the kind of peace that no amount of money can buy. He offers us a kind of love that no kind of popularity, doesn't matter how many followers you have on Instagram, you'll never experience the kind of love that Jesus offers except through relationship with him. And the kind of hope that Jesus offers, what he can do for you, knowing that he's got everything under control. No other power on earth can offer that. It doesn't matter how much power you have. No power can offer you the kind of hope that Jesus offers, because his hope is good not only for this life, but for all of eternity. So this is what Jesus offers us. The sweetest of life, not because of the material things that we get, but because of what comes into our hearts when we invite Jesus to come into our hearts. And that's becoming just like Jesus, the Son of God who was sent to earth. You and I, God offers to become his sons and daughters. And knowing that you're loved by God, knowing that he'll take care of you, not only in this life, but in the life to come, that's irreplaceable. John chapter 1, verse 10 says, he came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. And they are reborn not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. This is what Jesus does in our lives. Is we have in him, when we receive Christ into our lives, what takes place is a spiritual rebirthing where we are born by the Spirit to become sons and daughters of God, received and accepted by him because of what Jesus did for us, because Jesus came from earth, because he went through the unexpected, inconvenient life that he lived on earth. You and I can have the irreplaceable life that only he offers us. And that's the true message of Christmas, that God sent his only son as a little baby to live and die for us so that we then could become God's sons and daughters, which is what God always intended. From the time that God created mankind, his intention was always that we would be his sons and daughters. And when Adam and Eve chose to sin, God's heart was broken. But Jesus came to earth and his body was broken so that you and I, our relationship with God, could be healed. And that's the story of Christmas. And today, as I close this message, I just want to invite you, if you've never opened your heart to Jesus, if you've never come to him and say, Jesus, I want the damage of sin in my life, because who of us hasn't sinned? Who of us hasn't experienced the pain, the frustration that comes from sin? But Jesus said, if we'll receive him into our lives, the blood that he shed on the cross will forgive us of our sins and restore us into relationship with him. I'm just going to ask you, just if you would bow your heads with me. I'm going to say a simple prayer that reflects God's heart for you and our response to him. And as I'm praying this prayer, if this prayer resonates with you, you can just agree with this prayer and invite Jesus into your heart. That on this Christmas day, when we celebrate Jesus' arrival, the Son of God's arrival in the flesh 2,000 years ago, as predicted by the prophets hundreds of years before he was ever born, if we'll receive Jesus as the Son of God and his death as payment for our sins, then Jesus will come, live in our hearts, and make us to be his sons and daughters. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today on this Christmas day, when we celebrate that amazing morning 2,000 years ago when Jesus, the Son of God, came and was born in the flesh. Born to live as a little child, to grow up in Israel, and to give his life on the cross so that we could live. Father, today we thank you for the blood of Jesus shed for our sins. We ask you, God, to forgive us of our sins. And to be our Lord and Savior. Come into our lives. Make us your sons and daughters. We ask today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.